All right, good morning. Have a seat. I'm going to get my stuff open here. Well, my name is Jeff Thompson. For those of you that don't know me, I know many of you, but the cool thing about being a part of NBC right now is that things are changing. There's a lot of new faces. There's seemingly every time I walk around this place on a Sunday morning, I'm seeing new people. I've been going here, you know, most of my life. And so it's so exciting to be here now in a time where we're growing. New people are coming. Just as people are moving into our community, and Midlothian is changing, NBC's changing. Praise God. So, before I teach, I just would like to indulge upon you. Could I just be real with you for a couple minutes before we kind of get into missions? Is that okay? Okay, Lori gave me permission. I got it. That's all I need. That's all I need. It's good enough for me. So if you've been around here for the last couple months, you hear us keep talking about regeneration, and I don't want to sound like a broken record, and we certainly don't want to frustrate anybody, but as I was preparing to talk about missions, I'm coming to you in the midst of a journey. I'm going through regeneration, and I just want to share a couple of lessons that I think that I'm learning that are going to propel us into a frame of mind where we can talk, I think, appropriately about missions. And Matt, thank you so much for bringing the words of John Piper. Missions and worship can't be disconnected. They're inextricably linked together. Okay? And I resonate with that as I'm gonna just share a couple of observations about my journey with regeneration. The biblical basis where we get this concept of regeneration comes directly from the book of Titus. And it's a journey that if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, this is true of you. You don't, not just for those that happen to be going through a course called regeneration, but the idea of regeneration is for every believer. Because when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared in our life, in my life, in your life, He saved us. Praise the Lord. Not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy that He pours out on us freely. It's a gift, right? And by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior. And what I'm experiencing with my group of guys, I'm just going to, real quick, I want you to just kind of see what a regeneration group looks like. Oh, children, get out of here. Yeah, get out of here. Emery, love you. Have fun. While the kids are getting up, if you're in my region, my guys, can you just stand up real quick? I just want, Doug's gone. He's out there, but there's Brian, there's Casey. Willard was playing worship up here. Rodney, is Rodney here? Big white beard? Am I seeing Rodney? No? I saw Terry, didn't I? Okay, he's here. He's working somewhere, I bet. He's probably fixing something. Just a normal group of guys that we're just going through life together and digging into this reality that as saved people, we have got this Holy Spirit in us that doesn't just save us, but it regenerates us. It gives life to us, not just in a one-time basis when we trust Christ, but in an ongoing capacity in this journey of sanctification that we're all on together. We are being regenerated. And for me, I take that to mean there are parts of my heart that I'm realizing have been dead for a long time. And just full disclosure, I've been a believer most of my life. I grew up in this very church. I got saved probably a dozen times. It seems like every VBS, like I heard the gospel and I was standing up and I was going forward. Like I grew up just steeped in this, soaked in this. I have been in full-time ministry for a dozen years. And yet in this season of my life, I'm understanding regeneration. And God is exposing and bringing out things in me that I just never saw clearly. And that's what I want to talk about. Because as we focus on Jesus, things about ourselves become made more clear. I love this quote of John Calvin. Pretty big name. Pretty good guy. I mean, we're kind of here because he, you know, led the Reformation and whatnot. Think about this. Without the knowledge of self, there is no knowledge of God. Without the knowledge of self, there is no knowledge of God. I believe this because in this season of my life, in my journey of regeneration, I'm realizing that there's a lot about myself that I just have not understood clearly. I'm going to just give you some resources that have been good for me. Obviously, the main resource that we focus on regeneration is this book right here. Matthew 6, or Romans 6, what Matt taught us last week. Jesus died for that, therefore we can be set free from it. Okay? That's just sort of a good way to sum up just the reality of regeneration is that God sets us free. And so obviously this is the main source of that truth. But I've found a couple of other good resources that are really powerful for me. And I'm just going to just point a few things out here. This is a really good one. It's called The Road Back to You. I don't know if you've ever heard of the Enneagram. I'm not going to go into it now, but it's just a personality typing system that is really quite profound. And it's been helpful for me to learn about myself. But check this out. I love this. This is so true. Certainly for me, and I hope it resonates with you. What we don't know about ourselves can and will hurt us. Let me just pause there. If I had time to tell you my full testimony, you would hear about anger. You would hear about, I never thought of myself as a depressive, but God's revealing to me that I have this bad habit of going into some dark places and hard, difficult times of my life. And I do that because there's just things in me that I've just never fully processed. Pieces of darkness, pieces of my fallen nature that I'm just sort of coming to grips with. And the things that we don't know about ourselves can and will hurt us, ourselves and those around us. As long as we stay in the dark about how we see the world and the wounds and beliefs that have shaped who we are prisoners of our history. That's true of me. Because of things in my past, wounds, hurts, rejections, sins, that I have not dealt with fully and adequately, I have in a sense been a prisoner. But praise the Lord, God's waking me up from that. He's exposing that. He's revealing that through the process of regeneration that I'm going through. And this is crazy to me. Eventually, we become so used to making the same mistakes over and over in our lives that they lull us to sleep. We need to wake up. If I were to summarize my regeneration journey with you, is that God's waking me up. Praise the Lord. Because there's some ways that I've been asleep. And all of us have this shocking capacity to let become normal extreme patterns of dysfunction. I mean, we get used to it. And as I'm looking at this now, sort of retrospectively looking back over my life, it's really shocking to me that I've been a member of good standing in a body of believers for all of my adult life. And yet I was just kind of able to go through life with these big holes, these big pockets of just things that I hadn't woken up to yet. I'm waking up though. Another great book, Surrender to Love, by David Benner. It's a guy book. It's nice and skinny. You can read it in probably 2 hours if you just didn't stop reading it. I honestly haven't even been able to get past like chapter 4 because it's just one of those books where you have to read it and reread it and things are just kind of hitting me with where I'm at right now. It is the things in ourselves that we refuse to face that have the greatest potential to tyrannize us. To deny the reality of fears is not to know ourselves. And then we risk becoming possessed by that which we refuse to face. I have this crazy habit in my life of running from hard things. Does anyone else do that? The things in myself that I don't like, I tend to just want to put a mask over that. Just kind of put some makeup on it. You know, put a little makeup on the ugly pig of my life, of my soul, and just kind of just press forward. And plus I'm a man. Women, you probably already know this about your husband, but we can be stubborn, right? And I just got in this habit of living where I just move past awkward, dark, dysfunctional things. I don't deal with them. And so God in this season of my life is finally bringing me to the place of peace where he's saying, no, Jeff, I died for that. Why are you carrying that around? We talk about in our region class, it's like a prisoner that's been set free. He's been acquitted for a crime. He's been released, but then the guy keeps coming back to jail every month or so saying, here I am, lock me up. I robbed that bank. And the jailers are just like, dude, you already paid for that. Like that's taken care of. But these things in our lives that we don't deal with, that's kind of like what we do. We keep going back in these patterns of brokenness and until the grace of God shows up in us. And until we focused in a purposeful way, set ourselves on a track to say, you know what, I'm done with this. I'm ready to wake up. And that's exactly what God is doing. The courage to face unpleasant aspects of our inner selves comes from feeling deeply loved. And I just want to say to you, as we transition to missions, that God loves you. He loves me. It's His kindness that leads us to repentance. And just my regen story is this. God needed to wake me up. And I'm so glad He did. I've got fellowship with my brothers like I've never had before. There he is. Love you, brother. Love you, man. Man, we're knuckleheads, aren't we? Isn't it awesome to know that God loves us? And He's drawing us out. And really, He's drawing us into freedom. And that's kind of where we pivot to missions. Because we need to wake up to the reality that God made us for mission. People that study movements throughout church history tell us about some characteristics and traits of global movements within the body of Christ throughout time. And one thing that is consistent in most movements is that it's a very small group of people that do consistently great things for the Lord. One stat that I've heard that in the body of Christ globally, less than 5% of people, and actually it's probably closer to like 1.5 or 2% even realistically, less than 5% of people in the body of Christ actually are participating with God in the Great Commission of reaching the world through the power of the gospel. And that's not okay. And so as we start to focus on missions, NBC, I'm praying that today God is going to wake us up to the mission that God is on and that you're going to see clearly that you are made for mission. And so I've got a question for you. And it's just this whole idea of like, who can God use to be His ambassadors? Okay? And I want you to think about that because, if you're honest with yourself, most of you probably would not point to yourself and say, yeah, God can use me. And this has to do with our identity. And so I want you to understand something powerful about identity. You will never move beyond what you think about yourself. You will never move outside of the box that you put yourself in. So it's very important for you and for me, for us, to understand what God says about us. And to do this, if you got your Bibles, go with me to 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 20. We're just going to look at a few verses that communicate powerfully and wonderfully God's amazing call on your life and on mine. And I love this. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 20. It starts in verse 17. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Praise the Lord. So when you come to Christ, you're brand new. He makes you new. He causes in you the things that are dead through the power of His Holy Spirit to be brought to life. And all the stuff that you've done in your past, He forgives you. He saves you. He justifies you. And He puts His Spirit in you, giving you this miraculous ability to live a brand new life. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Okay, so that's where we start. We're new creations. New creations to do what? Okay? All of this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to Himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. God saved us. God saved you and me, and He's given us a ministry. You have a calling. You have a purpose. And it's all around this ministry of reconciliation that He's given to us. God loves people. He's pursuing people. He's calling people to Himself. He has a heart for all nations and all people everywhere. And He's given us His new creations, His sons and daughters filled with His Spirit. He's given us purpose. Not only that, He's given us ministry. Now, what we have to deconstruct here is that in most churches, ministry is done by a few select people, the pastors, the leaders. And we've got to get out. That's a really bad habit that's actually not biblical at all. Because if you're a new creation in Christ, you have a ministry of reconciliation. You are uniquely wired and gifted with your voice, with your gifting, with your talents to bring people to God. I love this. The ministry of reconciliation is this, that in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. So you have a ministry and you have a message. I want to focus in on what is this message of reconciliation. It's the gospel. The gospel. This message of reconciliation, that this message that we've been given by God to give to the world is one of power. And this is going to be very important for us to understand. It's outside of us, but it's been given to us, and it is power. Paul talks about this in Romans 1:16. He says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I don't have to be, because it's not about me. It's about God. He says, I'm not ashamed of this gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. At NBC, it's been given to us. Now, I'm ashamed to say that I didn't really meet the gospel for myself until 2009. I can tell you exactly when it was. It was on my very first mission trip to Huancayo, Peru, and I was a youth pastor at the time, but a couple of my kids wanted to go on this mission trip, and I somehow get roped into going to this thing. I love talking about God in safe places like this, but when I got on a plane and flew to Peru to share the gospel, to for the first time in my life take my part in the ministry of reconciliation, I got to be honest with you, I was scared to death. I go and knock on that first door, and I was sweating. I don't speak Spanish, first of all, so I've got this little guy named Juan, who's my translator, and I just start talking in English with this little thing called an evangel cube, and I did a horrible gospel presentation. The very first door I knocked on, this little woman just sitting there, and Peruvians are like tiny people. I mean, literally, she's like this tall, and I'm sitting here, and it's this little hut. I mean, you know, it's a pretty poor part of the world, but she listens, and then I get to the end, and say, well, would you like to, I don't know, maybe just kind of believe that? This is how powerful the gospel is. She starts crying. She's crying. She accepts Jesus. She invites me into her house, and I spend like, I had this memory of, she's an older woman and her hands are like prunes. She's worked the soil her entire life. Her back is kind of bent, and I'm sitting in this woman's house and I'm crying. She's crying. I met the gospel that day. And literally, I remember having this epiphany, which, by the way, when it says in Titus, when the loving kindness of God, our Savior appeared, that Greek word is epiphaneia. It's a sudden appearing. It's an epiphany. I had an epiphany about the gospel that day. The gospel is awesome. And it's powerful. And even when imperfect vessels like me and you or anyone else shares that, it is the power of God unto salvation. And it's a ministry that's been given to us. And I remember thinking, where have I been? How did I miss this? This is awesome. The gospel transformed my life. In 2009, I didn't realize it at the time, but the entire trajectory of my life shifted subtly. But it set me on a brand new course. And it's because the gospel is powerful, and it's so filling, it's so encouraging, it's so enlightening, it's so empowering. At least it was for me to finally figure out this is what I was made for. We've been given a ministry of reconciliation, and not only that, we've been given a message with which to fulfill that ministry, and it's a message of power. So because of the ministry of reconciliation, because of the message of reconciliation, therefore we are ambassadors for Christ. God making his appeal through us. Now, let me tell you why this is so powerful. Because the people that respond to the gospel are broken people that are far away from God. They don't want religious highfalutin ideals. That never draws people to Christ. Religion doesn't save anyone. One of the most powerful examples of the gospel is when a real person with flesh and blood, with the testimony of brokenness and sin and dysfunction, when they pick up that mantle, when they receive their true identity as a follower of Christ and an ambassador of Christ, when they put on that identity and they go out and walk in it, broken people love when real, humble, other broken people come and tell them about Jesus. It just works. And NBC, I'm so excited to be able to just focus us on mission today, because we'll get there. I don't want to get ahead of myself. Matt, who are the ministers at NBC? Okay, good job. That's not actually enough, Matt. If I may be so bold, I think we need to add another mantra to the life of NBC. Because In North American churches, we do missions very weird. We gather resources from many and we send a few. Now, that's not wrong. It's just not complete. Because when I'm, the people that I'm looking at right now, according to the Bible, I'm looking at a room full of missionaries. You've been given a message of reconciliation. You've been given a ministry. It's a calling upon your life. And so when I ask the question, who are the missionaries at NBC? What should the answer be? Okay, let's do it like we believe it this time. Okay. Who are the missionaries at NBC?
We are.
You are. We are. NBC, we're called to missions. We are saved for missions. And here's an interesting thought about that. Does God need us to do missions? No. Missions is not for God. God could snap his fingers and everyone would be saved. He could do it that way. That's his prerogative. He's God. He didn't choose to do it that way. He gave this ministry to us. The reason he gave that to us, I'm convinced, I've learned, is that the power of God experienced in missions is one of the, maybe it's transformative. I don't know where it ranks on the scale of transformational things, but missions has changed my life. And what I do now with E3 Partners, I'm the strategy director for a church planting strategy in Colombia. I get to gather North American church people just like you, and take you to Colombia and partner you with Colombian churches that are trained, that get this, that are doing this, that are living this. We get to partner with them and we get to go out and share the gospel, and people are getting saved. Churches are being established. And I do that through people just like me. People just like you. People just like Gary and Kathy Spurlock. I've seen the gospel transform this couple. Dale Ford, where are you? Where's Dale? Dale Ford, our elder that came up here and prayed for the missions offering. He's an accountant. He's a man of few words. And I got to go with Dale to Colombia, where I saw this man set on fire. I've got a picture. It's one of my favorite pictures. It's of Dale Ford in the back of a Colombian church, the Central Church in Colombia. I have some friends here. And Dale Ford, his arms are raised up high. There's a little Colombian next to him, his translator, I think. And it's an enduring image of my elder that I got to go on mission with, just seeing him worship the Lord. NBC, you're called to missions. We are. I want to talk about the barriers that keep us from missions, because we all have some. We all have them, okay? I want you to think right now, and I want you to look into your heart, and I want to ask you this question. What's keeping you from fulfilling your gospel calling? Because we all have these barriers, and there's still barriers in my life that are keeping me from fulfilling my gospel calling. Each of us has a wall here that we have to identify, and ultimately, by the power of God, we want to kick this wall down. Because right on the other side of a wall, right on the other side of a barrier, I mean, like literally one step past the barrier, is a blessing. And what I love to do with people is take them by the hand and help them get through that wall. Here's some common ones. See if you relate to any of these. Fear. How many of you, if I present you with the situation of going to a foreign country and sharing the gospel with total strangers and eating weird food, to be perfectly honest, raise your hand if you're just a little bit afraid. Okay, that's fine. That's fine. Me too. Okay, that's a real one. Fear's a real one. Okay, let's keep going though. There's more. Insecurity. Wow, okay. How many of you just don't feel like you're adequate or capable of doing something like that? How many of you, it just, something like missions just kind of seems like a big thing that are like for big, like mature, smart, fancy people? How many of you would confess that there's just a little bit of insecurity about the idea of missions? Okay, that's fine. Whoa, this is a big one. Okay, what about lack of training? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but I'll just tell my story. As a youth pastor in Cheyenne, Wyoming, I was confronted with the reality that I did not know how to share the gospel effectively. That's humbling. Some of you right now, you're just, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. You've just, no one's just ever taught you how to share the gospel. That's real. Lack of vision. Maybe you've just never really been presented with the opportunity or told these truths that you're made for mission. Okay, and here's, I think, the biggest one. Sin. Every one of us would have to raise our hands and say, I'm a sinner. And to some degree, we're all struggling with cycles of sin. Right? And where Satan comes into our lives, the lie that Satan tells us is that God can't use you. He can't use you because you're a sinner. You would be a hypocrite, actually, to go out and share the gospel or the good news with anyone because you yourself are a sinner. Guys, I want you to know that that wall of guilt and fear and shame is not from God. God loves calling broken, sinful people into a relationship with Himself, filling them with power that is beyond themselves and sending them out to do transformational things. There's never been a perfect missionary. You've all heard of Mother Teresa, the great saint in the slums of Calcutta. When you read her testimony, at the end of her life, she wrote these memoirs, and she confessed to having just this crippling doubt because of her own inadequacies, because of her own imperfections, because of the reality that she was a sinner. And I just confess alongside of you, that is a real thing. But I want you to understand exactly what Matt talked about. The power of the gospel is that it sets us free. We are justified. We are declared righteousness. The perfect righteousness of Christ is given to us to cover over us, to atone for our sins, so that we can stand, even as broken people, we stand cleansed. We stand regenerate, and we are exactly the people that God wants to send out to punch through this wall to go and accomplish our gospel calling. Okay, flip over to Colossians with me. Think about those walls, okay? Think about those walls in your life. Think about those barriers. And now compare them and look at them now through the lens, the proper lens of what God says about us. Colossians 1, 28 and 29. This is Paul talking about his ministry of reconciliation. But these truths given to God by the power of the Holy Spirit are for us. He's talking about the ministry of reconciliation, and he says, Him we proclaim, Him being Jesus. We proclaim Him. This is our ministry of reconciliation. And when we obey it, we go and we take the message of reconciliation, the gospel, and we proclaim Him, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom that we may present everyone mature in Christ. This is Paul's heartbeat. This is what we need to aspire to for our heartbeat. There are people that are far away from God, and we want to present them perfect and mature in Christ. We can't do that. God does, and He does it through the gospel. He does it through the reality of the cross and salvation so that people that are far away from God can be brought near. And this was the heartbeat of Paul's life. Look at what he says in verse 29. He says, "For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works in me." It says that the gospel is God's power, and I want to drill down into what this particular phrase right here is saying for us. We're going to take a 3D view of this. Don't let this just be words on a page. Let the Holy Spirit, we're going to look at the exact Greek words that the Holy Spirit uses here, because they paint a picture for us to see this more fully. Paul struggles. That Greek word is agonizomai. He agonizes, he toils, he works so that people can be saved. But then he gives us the secret weapon here. He gives us the revelation that is good news for us, because it's his energy that powerfully works within me. This first energy is this Greek word, energeia. Energeia. And this word energeia, every time it's used in the New Testament, it's used to describe a supernatural occurrence of power. This is only used about supernatural occurrences of both God and Satan, but primarily God. And so what we see here is that we have this miraculous, supernatural, otherworldly energy that is in us. It's given to us. For what? To present people perfect in Christ. To fulfill our gospel calling. To participate in the ministry that we've been given with the message that we've been given. It's energeia. It's energy that powerfully, this word is dunamis. We get our English word dynamic. It's a dynamic energy that works in energeo. His energy that is supernatural dynamically energizes and works in us. Believer, this is you. And I think of what in Genesis 28, the story where Jacob has the vision of God. Okay, he gets the dream about the ladder. And then it says that when he woke up, and he thought about the dream and the revelation that God gave him in that dream, he says this amazing thing. He says, "Wow." That's not in the Hebrew. That's sort of an editorialization. But he wakes up and he says, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it." Believer, did you know that you can come to points of your life of revelation and encounter with God where you experience something for the first time and your eyes are opened and you're like, has that been there all along? This is what the gospel is like. And until you try it, you're not going to experience this power. This power is reserved. It's the power of the gospel. Now he pours his power out in other ways. I'm not just saying that unless you go on a mission trip, you're not going to experience the power. That's not what I'm saying. But there is an aspect of God's power that he pours out uniquely through evangelism. Uniquely in its energy and its dynamic and its powerful, and it works through us when we join him on his mission. Now, this is where we come to a crossroads. One of the most obvious things that I've learned about myself in regeneration is that I am an idolater. If you would have talked to me a year ago, I would not have seen that. I certainly would not have confessed to it. But as I've gone through this journey, it's specifically a tool that we call inventory. It's about a 4-week process where literally you chart all of your junk. All of your sin, going back as far as you can remember, it's grueling. It's a beatdown. I hated every minute of it, but it was the best thing I'd ever done. Because when I wrote it down and I look at this, it jumps off the page. I'm worshiping myself. I spend my time focused on me. And to our detriment when we do that, and by the way, I'm not alone in that. You struggle with it too. Which is why we have to make these choices about how we're going to live our lives. If you've got a good job, praise the Lord. If you've got a solid retirement account, praise the Lord. It is not the most defining thing about you, however. This, the mission of God and the power that He has available for you is the most important thing about your life. And it's the only thing that's really has the capability to make an impression on eternity. Two generations from now, no one's going to remember your job. I'm sorry. It's not going to happen. Our life is but a vapor and then we die. What's going to matter is the internal impact that we have. And the only thing that lasts forever is the souls of men and the Word of God. And we've been given this mission to bring as many people as we can into that reality of God's kingdom. So when we join God on mission, the Spirit of God empowers the people of God to fulfill the mission of God. NBC, I want you to look in your bulletin insert here. You've got this awesome Leah Hobson. You do such an amazing job. Did you make this? Okay. Leah, you've got in front of you the missions part of the, this is not all of the missions at NBC, but particularly these are opportunities for you to go and join God's mission. And I'm going to close with this. Who are the missionaries at NBC? There's three exact ways that you can fulfill your Great Commission kingdom calling. They're very simple. I mean, hard and complex in some ways, in other ways, very simple. The Lord is calling you to respond to this. In your capacity, okay? Three words that we're going to just focus on as the so now what question of this Sunday. As it relates to the mission of God that is uniquely being fulfilled through NBC. There's four opportunities on here in which you can give, pray, or go. Now, me personally, I'm leading a mission trip to Armenia, Colombia this June. And the best part of my job is that I get to take people by the hand, take them into the field of harvest where they can find their kingdom treasure that Matthew talked about in Matthew 13:44, the treasure hidden in a field. It's in the harvest. And I can teach you how to share the gospel. Simple tools that I can teach you in 10 minutes. And I can empower you and release you and give you an opportunity to go on mission to Colombia to share the gospel. There's also the people wearing red here. Red team, stand up. Peru team, just stand up so you can... just so people can see, there's a powerful, dynamic, awesome, family-integrated team coming out of our church going to Peru, Tarapoto, Peru. Is that in July? Okay. Give, pray, or go. This team is full, correct? There's not a go opportunity with this team. There's a go opportunity in Armenia, Colombia. There's a go opportunity in Albania. There's a pray and a giving opportunity for Andy Perkins and the work in Liberia. Guys, you can change the world. Thank you. Thank you. You can change the world. God can use you to change the world. If you right now will make a decision and say, Lord, go before the Lord. Say, Lord, what would you have me do with these responsibilities, with these opportunities, and with the calling that you've given me? Please take time to read this. If you're interested in coming to Columbia, right after service, right out there in the hospitality room, we're going to just have a quick information meeting where I can put some information in your hand. I would love to take you on mission because it's going to change your life. And as more and more of us go on mission as a church family, our church is going to be transformed. We're going to practice right now the discipline of praying. Matt's going to come up and we're just going to spend a time of focused prayer, praying for these opportunities for the mission of Christ to be performed through NBC.
At this time, if I could have everyone that's going on the trip or if you're leading a trip, if you could just come forward. And what we're going to do is we're going to practice as the family of God. And I'm just going to lead you through some prayer requests for these different trips. And it's going to be up on screen. And your job is to pray, okay? Your job is to pray with us. And so if all these different teams and team members and leaders can come. We're going to start, that's our mission. Our mission is to glorify God and make disciples by bringing people together through the gospel and building up mature followers of Christ. We're to do that here, but we're also called to do it around the world as well. And so let's just begin by praying. We're going to pray first for Peru and that trip. And so if you would, just pray in your hearts along with me. Dear God, we come. Lord, first of all, our desire is to see you worshiped. We want to see your name proclaimed. We want to see you glorified. Because God, again, we know that when you are glorified, people's lives are changed. People's lives are blessed. And Lord, when you are glorified, then people are living out what we were created to do in the first place, which is to glorify you and then to enjoy you. There's pleasure and there's joy in magnifying you. So God, we thank you for the opportunity just to be a small part of your grand plan and to have the privilege to not only be missionaries and ministers right here in Midlothian in Texas, but also to take the opportunities to spread our wings and to support the body of Christ around the world. So Lord, we come first and we want to pray for Peru. We thank you that our church can be a part of this. We thank you for Jeremy's leadership in it, and Hatchett's leadership. So Lord, we just want to pray right now for the hearts of the team members. Just pray that you begin to prepare their hearts right now. Help them to go deeper with you in their walk with you. Help them to spend time in your word. Spend time in just praying and listening to you, God. We pray for the preparation of lessons and activities for the youth conference. Lord, just give great insight and creativity and wisdom to that process. Lord, we pray for financial support. Each member is raising about $1,500, Lord. And Lord, I've seen you time and time again just provide, and I ask that you might do it again. Lord, we also want to pray as we think about just the hearts of the youth that will be there, that they're going to meet. We pray that right at this moment, that even now, that you're sovereignly working and you are preparing hearts to be receptive to the gospel of Jesus Christ. That they'll come to understand it clearly, that they'll turn from sin and they'll turn from trust in anyone or anything else and put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ and Christ alone. Pray for just the team as they even do basic language skills. Lord, it's just, I've seen when you learn just some key words, it just shows love to the people you're going to minister to. And it begins to build bridges, even if you can't carry on full conversations. They know you care because you care enough about their language. And so, Lord, I pray that you will just help all the team members of that. And then, Lord, we pray, as this is a prayer for every trip, just pray for the members to walk by faith in you, God, and not their own abilities, God. We're not called to do missions in our own strength and power. We're called to do it in dependence upon you. Lord, we also pray for Liberia. We pray especially as there will be a trip this spring and then one later coming up in the fall. Lord, we know this is a country where there is a need for physical and spiritual protection for our team, especially as they minister in areas where there are local witch doctors and secret cults. We just pray for protection of every team member that's going to go. We pray that you will fill them with your Holy Spirit, they'll walk by your Holy Spirit. And we pray for those witch doctors and we pray for those secret cults that your gospel, which is absolutely powerful, will change witch doctors' lives and cult members' lives. We pray even right now that you're working in their hearts, Lord. Help them to see their need. They're sinners in need of a Savior, and it's not found in cults and witchcraft. Found in you, God. Lord, we want to pray as well for Colombia. Lord, we're so thankful for just the over 5-year partnership that we have had with Colombia and this opportunity. And so, Lord, we pray for those churches, for obedience and commitment of the 400 churches that are there in Colombia working with E3. We pray for their continued obedience and commitment. We pray for peace in Colombia and Venezuela, which is right there on the border, as there's been so many Venezuelan refugees, 1.5 million is the estimate. But God, you've seen you time and time through history, even utilize that to bring the gospel to people. And so, Lord, I pray for those 1.5 million Venezuelans that they will hear the gospel of Jesus Christ clearly. Lord, we ask as well, we pray that you will provide more people to come from our church, NBC. We pray that even at this moment, you're putting on the hearts of people sitting here, or maybe not even sitting here, Lord, that they might just join. And Lord, that you might, even if they're fearful, Lord, that you will help them to trust you, and you will provide them courage, God. Because, Lord, we have not been given a spirit of timidity, but one of power and discipline and love, Lord. Empower people who are fearful to make a decision. And, Lord, we also want to pray for Albania. Lord, I was just delighted to be able to be a part of that last year. And, Lord, we're thankful that we can, again, think about going again. But, Lord, we've run into some difficulty. Lord, as the schools there, as there have been protests within the universities, that's kind of put the schedule behind for the school year. They're out almost 5 weeks. So, Lord, we ask that you will work out those details and that we'll still be able to do an English trip in July. Lord, we need people to go to Albania as well. And Lord, there's only two qualifications, as Gusti has told us about Albania, that you got to know English and you got to know Jesus. So most people who are sitting here have already qualified. Lord, I just pray that you'll lead in their hearts, that you'll draw the people that need to be a part of this trip. And God, as we pray about short-term mission trips, Lord, we are also praying that we'll just be missionaries where we are. And so what I want to pray for everyone sitting here that knows you as their Savior, I pray that you will open up doors for opportunities of the gospel. And Lord, I pray the doors will be so wide that us as members that, again, we just trip right through them and we just start talking about you. Lord, strengthen every believer here to walk by your power, and that when they see those open doors, that they'll just speak. They'll speak of how you, God, have worked in their lives, how you've met them in different trials, and they'll just talk about Jesus. And Lord, I pray for receptivity to the gospel for our people here right in Midlothian and all Cedar Hill and all the areas around that are represented, Lord, that we just might be lights, we might be missionaries, we might be ministers for you, because we want to see your name magnified and we want to see you glorified. Lord, we just pray that you are lifted up and that making you known and proclaiming your greatness might be our passion for missions, God. Lord, we love you and we thank you.